What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God. The ministry helps you get right with God. Today, we're talking about sexual repression. This is part two.
So I found an article that talks about what the sexual repression symptoms are. And the initial list that I gave you was the effects of sexual repression. So it's not necessarily you are sexually repressed, but you have been affected by it in some cases. So this is an article from whatispsychology.net. And the article, what sexual repression symptoms are there? So I'm just going to read part of this article and then discuss a little bit of it. So it says, many experts who have studied the effects of sexual repression on the human psyche over the years have concluded that repressing human sexuality can cause all kinds of neurosis and health problems. The history books have shown us that repressing human sexuality very often leads to a loss of perspective, dangerous compulsions, and inhuman behavior. For centuries, the Catholic Church has sought to repress human sexuality and encouraged its brethren to abstain from sex. Millions of priests and members of the clergy have been forced to suppress their natural sexual urges over the years, which has undoubtedly led to untold numbers of cases of sexual abuse against vulnerable children. The act of sex, whether through masturbation or intercourse, helps to dissipate sexual energy, which is why a person usually feels a great sense of serenity and relaxation in the aftermath of an orgasm. Victims of sexual repression, or anyone who is unable to have an orgasm, will be unable to find relief, and over time their sexual energy builds up and can cause deep-seated feelings of frustration and anger. The Victorians were well known for their strident beliefs of sexual repression. Masturbation was considered evil, and young girls and women who displayed signs of healthy sexuality were sometimes subjugated to all kinds of inhumane practices. And yet women who displayed the symptoms of sexual repression, known as hysterical paroxysm, were treated by a method referred to as the valvular stimulation, which in today's terms is a good old-fashioned masturbation. However, the Victorian doctors did not regard this technique as sexual. They merely saw it as hard work and rather time consuming. So what would happen is they would find a girl that's hysterical, and it's because she ain't been having sex, because they've repressed her sexuality. And so the doctor would stimulate the girl's clitoris and bring her to orgasm, basically. And they didn't even think that that was sex that they were doing. Interestingly, female hysteria is a recognized condition traceable as far as back as ancient times. It was mentioned in the Hippocratic Corpus, and Galen, a well-known physician from the 2nd century, referred to as a disease caused by sexual deprivation, and particularly passionate women, many of whom were nuns, virgins, or widows. Continuing on, there's another part of this article. It says the heading is, what sexual repression symptoms were described in the history books? Victorian doctors recorded all kinds of symptoms in women who were evidently suffering from some kind of sexual repression, including a nervous disposition, insomnia, irritability, faintness, heaviness in the abdomen, muscle spasms, a tendency to cause trouble, and no appetite for food. Many physicians believe that hysteria led to an increased likelihood of developing nervous disorders and problems with the reproductive tract. But even today, it is widely recognized that repression of sexuality is unhealthy and quite likely to lead to health problems ranging from anxiety and aggression. And on a more serious note, there's also the likelihood that the person might seek inappropriate outlets for their sexual urges. This is why I believe some of these priests in these Catholic churches end up messing with young boys. Because what happens is they can't have sex. They took this vow of celibacy. They can't have sex. They can't have a wife. And so they're horny all the time. They're probably looking at pornography to try to find some outlet of what they want to do. And they think, well, maybe I can look at this, but it's not good enough. And because they're in a depraved and most damnable religion on the planet, they end up just falling deep into darkness. Darkest side of pornography. And then they're looking at children, and now they see a child that's under their ministry, and they end up just having sex with the child, you know, all because of sexual repression. You know, so what these people found and what they wrote about, it just mentions the Catholic Church because these are the people who did it. And I want to be clear about this. The Catholic Church is not God's church. I've talked about this in the past. The Catholic Church is an amalgamation of Roman pagan God worship and some of the teaching of Jesus. So they mixed the two together and they came out with this religion. So I want to be clear because a lot of people, oh, the church is right, but it's just corrupted in certain areas. No, the whole thing is a mess. And we did a whole sermon on that, a couple sermons and articles about that, showing you the history of Christianity, how it never started in Christ. So the followers of Christ, the saints, the body of Christ still exists today. It always existed and never died. It's just that Satan decided to combat the truth in Christ with something called Christianity. If you never grew up in Catholic Church, okay, because of their influence across the world, these ideas still may affect your life without you knowing it. If you ever said, I'm doing the nasty, why are you labeling sexual activity nasty? God created sex. Why is it nasty? Because the Catholic Church taught you it was nasty. So Catholic leaders, they got their ideas about sex by misinterpreting the Bible. I'm going to show you the scriptures that they use to support their views on sex. And then also they're simply being led by the enemy to suppress sex. Sex is a wonderful thing. God created for man and woman. And last sermon, I talked about the 10 benefits of sex, why you need to have sex, why sex is healthy. Aside from procreation, God made it for your pleasure, for your health. God is good. And the enemy don't want you to have good things. He wants to suppress that. And we see all the different things that come out of sexual repression when you can't have sex or when you're not having it properly. When you have these weird ideas about sex because some Catholic influence gave you that down the line, you know, it destroys everything. It messes things up. So let me talk about the effects of sexual repression. So sexual repression, when it's at its full grip, we talked about it, leads to abstinence. So you ain't having no sex, but that leads to you're going to end up being celibate and single, which most people are not built for. OK, you're supposed to have somebody. Unless you got a gift, which you'll talk about later on, which this is what it leads to: violence, tension, promiscuity. Now, promiscuity is when a person can't take it no more and they just on the down low having sex with everything that moves. And this is what happens to a lot of girls in the Protestant churches. We've always heard that the pastor's daughter is one of the most promiscuous girls in the church. This was a common thing. It's like, why is the church, you know, because she's told to be a virgin, she's got to be locked down, and she has no access to anything. She can't masturbate, she can't do nothing, and she just goes buck wild because she's sexually repressed. All right, we've heard about freaky nuns, and you know, who they're getting something on the side, and they, you know, and because they're repressed, they say, I'm gonna just break out. So for some people, it just, they can't take that, and they end up having all kind of illicit sex under the radar, behind closed doors, because they don't want nobody to discover that they're doing this because they took a vow of celibacy, you know. So that's what sexual repression does. It creates whoremongering and all kind of stuff. People just break out and just be freaks. Okay. Perversion, like we mentioned, these church priests, they end up having sex with the children, the boys in particular, and pedophiles. They become pedophiles because they've been repressed sexually, right? Another symptom of sexual repression is confusion. And the next point here is hysteria in women. We talked about that early on. Now, hysteria is depriving from or affected by uncontrolled extreme emotion. So a woman is extremely emotional. And they called it hysteria because she would just be all over the place. And why? She's not getting no sex. She can't masturbate. She doesn't know how. She don't know anything about it. And she don't know what's going on with her, but she's just emotional. She's all over the place, and she can't contain herself. And she's a loony. She's lonely. And all she needs is somebody to lay the pipe right. That's all. That's all. She needs a little bit of pipe. That's all. She just needed, you know, she needed the violin stroked a little bit. That's it. You know, and it's amazing to me just how these people have clamped down on sexuality, people's sexuality, and messed them up. But that's the most extreme part. I know that most people are still having sex, you know, in this country, and they're not under this level of repression, but you can still be affected by it. And here's another effect of it. Men and women lose their sexual appeal. Contrary to religion, men and women need to have some sensuality to be attractive. So, especially if you're married, you need to have some sensuality. Okay. But because sex before marriage is evil, we've been all told that. So we don't have sex. These are for people who actually say, I'm going to be a virgin. Okay. And masturbation is evil. So they've been told masturbation is evil. So they're not touching themselves. They're not even sexual with themselves as far as discovering what makes them orgasm, what makes them feel good. They don't even explore that. And then they think any form of sensuality is evil. So they avoid any sensual media their whole lives. So any song that talks about sex, love making or anything of that nature, they cut it off. They refuse to listen to it. They don't watch any shows where sex is going down. If somebody's kissing, they leave the room. They suppress every sexuality, every sexual thing about them as a person. They refuse to go near it because why? They've been told from the spirit of this Catholic spirit that sexuality is a sin before marriage. Now, and if they have a sexual thought, any desire comes up within them about a person, they immediately suppress that and say, oh, that's a sin. They go, you know, they feel guilty about it and they just keep pressing that down. And like I said before, there is no sin in having sexual desire for somebody. Okay. There's no sin in that. That's natural. If you come near somebody that's attractive, that's going to be natural. You let that go. You don't suppress that. Now, it depends on who the person is, if they're married or not and stuff like that. But the point I'm making here is that you don't suppress the natural desires that God gave you. God gave you these desires. He gave you these emotions. He created this for you. This is supposed to be in operation. You ain't supposed to suppress that. All right. So they feel guilt and shame if they even have a sexual thought. Okay. And they've been doing this their whole life. They don't masturbate. They stay away from all sexual media. They don't dress in a way that would seem that they're sexual. They cut down any sexual ideas. Now they have no sexual appeal. And these people are invisible, particularly with women. All right. They are not sexually desirable. They just have no sexual appeal whatsoever. So now they get married. They're lame in bed. They don't do anything in bed. They just kind of lay there. They don't generate any sexuality. Like, there are certain women that walk around, aside from whores. Okay. We all know whores have that flavor about them, that aura about them, that sex, the sex, sex, sex. But then there's a normal side of it where a woman, she just, it should come off a little bit. It's just to be there. And if a woman is somehow created some kind of aura where she has no sexuality whatsoever, she just seems like she's, and it's not about dress. She can dress feminine, but because of how she thinks about sex, she has no sexual appeal at all. She's cut that off from her. Now she's married and her husband is like, he has trouble, you know, getting that from her. She doesn't have that. It doesn't come from her. You know, he can still desire her when she takes her clothes off and he can, cause he has a drive himself. So it doesn't really matter how she is, but it helps when she is sexual too, that she has a sensuality to herself, but it's not there because she suppressed it her whole life. Okay. So they become sexually unattractive. And this causes low sexual arousal for either spouse. So if a man does this, he doesn't generate any kind of sexual desire to his wife. His wife is not, she doesn't get that from him. So she doesn't get that aroused because he doesn't come off like that. And the man, if his wife is like his, he doesn't find her sexually attractive either, because it's like, she's great. She's not lit up. She's not alive when it comes to these areas. She's just, you know, and this is due to sexual repression. Okay. Is it not to say that she's not having sex? They're having intercourse, but it ain't no good because of this Catholic teaching. Like I said, it's a spiritual thing. She may not have been taught this directly, but because of, I have to abstain from sex before marriage. I cannot masturbate. I cannot think of anything sexual, any sexual music, I cut it off. I don't listen to that. Da, 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 da. That person is not engaging in their sexuality as a person. You are a sexual being. Okay. Okay, and this is unfortunately Satan has messed us up with this, but we can regain it. So that's another effect of sexual repression. Another one is for the sexually active, this can cause terrible sex between the spouses. So this can cause adultery among women. So women feel like their husband is just no good in bed. He won't dominate. He's dead. Why? Because he suppressed his sexuality. So he's not able to release himself and be a dominant man in the bedroom because he cut it off. He probably thinks it's wrong to be like that in bed. You know, so she's like, man, and but she grew up around, she may have some past sexual partners, and she's like, she know how a man's supposed to put it down, and this man ain't doing it. So she ended up cheating on him and having sex with some guys outside, because she's not getting what she wanted. For the man's sake, if the wife is like this, he may end up, having sex with some women outside the marriage. So he may start going to some whores or some women who are playing the whores. Cause he's like, I want a woman that's sexy as hell, and I want to put it down. I want to get it down with her. But my wife, she's so uptight, man. She just ain't got no kind of flavor to her. This could be cause she might be sexually repressed, right? Another thing that people go to is pornography. If they can't cheat, they have access, and they don't have access to other people, then they end up going to pornography where they can at least look at what they fantasize doing, what they want to do, so they end up looking at pornography because they're like, man, I really wish I could do what I see in these movies, in these porno flicks, but or if it's a woman, she got a husband, but she just can't be what she wants to be because the other person is not, So it boils down to communication. We got to communicate and talk about what we want and all that kind of stuff and be free in the bedroom and get over this sexual repression stuff that we've been taught, right? Continuing on, here's some general effects, and I mentioned these early on, but discussing sex is taboo. Because sex is so evil and foul, they don't even want to talk about it. It's so evil, don't you talk about it. I remember my father, we were watching a movie. The whole family was watching a movie called Fifth Element. This was Bruce Willis and Chris Tucker, and it's this model girl. Okay, she's a model, but she's an attractive woman, but she don't have no chest. She's a very flat-chested female. Not much to see. But anyway, there's a scene where she, because she's ignorant of nudity, she just takes off her shirt because she's changing. She don't know that she's not supposed to do that. So in the back scene, you don't really see it, but her breasts are exposed, all right? There's nothing to see, really. But my father immediately turns off the TV and just ends the show like, you can't see that. Like, talk to us about titties. Talk to us about breasts. Don't do that. But this is how people get on when it comes to sex. When you see a woman's a breast or a vagina or something like, talk about that. You don't just hide that from kids because they're going to get to see it somewhere else. And that's sure enough we did. I mean, I went to school and they had porno books, and they would pass around porno books. I remember being in art class and we found an old magazine and it had a nude woman that was sitting on a chair, and she was well endowed in her breasts. She was huge breasts on her. It wasn't a sexual book. It was just everybody, covered it, that magazine. And we would just look. When we just talk about it instead of just chopping it off. But sex is taboo because of sexual repression. You see, nobody want to talk about breasts, penises, vaginas, butts, thighs. What happens when you find yourself aroused? Like, nobody talks about it. Because sex before marriage is evil. And when you do get married, you don't know what you're doing because nobody talked about it. Okay, continuing on, schools, another effect of sexual repression. Schools avoid teaching how to have sex properly and just focus on the biology of sex. So what do you remember about sex ed? Okay, you've seen somebody had a banana and they put a condom on. This is how you put a condom on. Safe sex, don't get AIDS. That's all I remember. I also remember, little diagrams of sperm seeds going into an egg and fertilizing the egg. Sexual reproduction. That's all I learned about. They didn't talk about, look, you need to do some lube if you're going to have sex. If you're going to masturbate, get you some lube. If y'all going to have sex, Put some lube on. Make sure you practice a lot of foreplay before you get into sex, because they're not going to work for the woman. The clitoris is designed primarily for sexual stimulation on the woman. Nobody talks about that at all. They don't tell you nothing. Okay? This is because of sexual repression. Nobody wants to talk about sex because sex is evil. Even though everybody want to do it, everybody wants to do it, everybody has a desire to do it, everybody is doing it. All right? So, as I just mentioned, people hurt themselves during sex. So, this is, and these are people that are not married. Just say, you know, they want to have sex, but they hurt themselves because they don't know that, okay, the girl has to have vaginal fluid flowing for you to go inside her. You can't just go inside her while she's dry like that, because she's going to hurt, okay? They don't know that because they, sexual repression, right? Another thing is they learn about sex from porn, which is a performance which doesn't show you behind the scenes preparation. So pornography is a performance, and a lot of what they're doing, while you see them doing it, they did a lot of preparation work prior to that, okay? So you can't just do what they're doing without knowing how they actually are doing it. So I just read an article about anal sex, and it was stating that people were injuring themselves with anal sex. So people are watching porn and trying to do anal sex and not understanding that you have to have a lot of lubrication prior to even entering the woman to actually do this particular act. So women were breaking their behinds open, boyfriends and girlfriends, they're hurting each other. One woman, she permanently has to wear Depends or diapers because her boyfriend improperly inserted his penis into her anus and broke her behind open. Because of sexual repression, we don't know how to properly have sex because we don't want to even talk about it. And so we'll learn about sex from pornography, which is performance stuff. This stuff is weird stuff. A lot of this stuff is over the top. It's crazy. It's anything that arouses somebody sexually. A lot of this stuff is you can't really do this in the bedroom. You know, it's a performance. But you got to learn from that. No, don't learn from pornography. If you see anything in pornography, don't attempt to do that without really understanding how that's done. Okay. You can't go by that because it'll mess you up. Okay. You'll mess up your partner, your wife or your husband or whatever, trying to do things that, don't work because you don't understand how it's done. Okay. You're just seeing the performance. Okay. Let me go continue on some more effects here. You're embarrassed to talk about sexual issues, so you keep them secret. So if you got a disease, people don't want to talk about it. Or if you have an injury, you won't tell nobody about it because in your sex, you know, because you're too scared to talk about it because it's shameful. Your sexual origins are shameful. You don't even want to refer to them as penis and vagina. You don't even want to refer to them as that. This is my wee-wee. This is my VV. Why do you call them that? You don't even want to, because sex is nasty, it's forbidden, it's dark, it's evil. Don't talk about it. It's the nasty. It's doing the nasty. You see? Another one here is, as we mentioned, some people believe sex is only for procreation. That's really old school. So some weird Catholic person, if you know, really old or something, probably tell you something like that. And if you get any pleasure from it, you're in sin. Okay, we talked about that. Those are the old church father beliefs. A lot of those are faded away. But I have heard that it is more holy to be virgin, to be a virgin and celibate than to get married. Okay, and those scriptures that they're coming from that I'll talk about. Doing the nasty, like I just mentioned, doing the nasty, like why is it called nasty? It's nothing nasty about sex. Nothing nasty about it. God created that. You're supposed to do that. It's not nasty. But because you think it's nasty, you got that idea from the Catholic Church. Okay. Augustine of Hippo, the church fathers of this Catholic, wicked Catholic system. That's where you got this stuff from. Okay. We all believe it. You know, another one, missionaries only acceptable sex, no doggy style, no cowgirl, any other position. So there's people who are having sex in relationship today who only do one position and wonder why they feel like sex is so boring, because you ain't change it up. All right. Another one, oral sex, anal sex, fingering, masturbation, any other sexual acts are sins. Once again, the Bible doesn't speak on any of these. This comes from the Catholic Church, all right? You're permitted to do whatever you want in your bedroom. You know, the only thing I would say is to do it in love and do it in patience, because you want the attributes of love. Do it with selflessness. Don't be just like, I'm going to hurt this person. I don't care how they feel and all that kind of, no. You know, so this is up to you. I'm not going to tell nobody what they can and can't do in the bedroom. However, like the anal sex in particular, clearly the anus is not designed to accommodate a penis. However, there are sensors in the anus, and it's also said that the woman can achieve orgasm from anal sex because her prostate is there. And if the man hits the prostate, rubs the prostate with his penis during that act, it brings about an orgasm. So there are things that can happen with these different acts, but it's up to what the woman can take and is comfortable with. And you know, I'm not going to get in nobody's bedroom. I'm not going to tell nobody what they can and can't do. So here's what the Bible says about sex. Here's some misinterpreted scriptures the Catholics use to promote their war on sex. Here's one in particular. Revelations 14:3-4 says, "And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." Verse 4 is the key verse here. "These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins." So these are a bunch of men who ain't never had sex, according to scripture here. And so because of this, they say, and it says, "These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." So people want to feel like they're the most holiest person. They think that, well, I got to be a virgin if I want to be real holy. But I think some of these guys were called. It's not something that you decide you're going to do so you can be a part of this group, you know. So the Catholic leaders took this passage to mean sex was defiling. It says that they did not defile themselves with women. So it's nasty to put your penis inside a woman's vagina. It's nasty to have sex with a woman. Women are nasty. They're dirty. This is how these guys thinking. I can assure you this scripture is not about that. I just want to say this is one passage. You can't take one passage of scripture and just say, this is what I'm going to base my whole doctrine on. All right. So, you know, basically they're saying it's foul to have intercourse with a woman. How then are we supposed to procreate? You know, that's my question. So everybody that's out here procreating, they're in sin. They're nasty. They're defiling themselves. That's really what you're saying. If you're going to use just one passage to support your doctrine on abstaining from sex. And then, of course, we've all been given this strong desire. We all had a strong desire to have sex. So for us to say, well, I need to be a virgin, even though I have this strong desire to have sex, it's not feasible, right? It doesn't work, right? So that's what that's about. Here's another passage they use. "Now concerning," this is 1 Corinthians 7:1. "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now a touch means to have sexual relations. All right. So they take this one passage and say, it's just good not to have sex with a woman. You just leave it at that. See, you can't read one passage. You read the next one after that and see what it says. See, but this is how they're building their doctrine. Women are evil, they're nasty, they're dirty, don't have sex with them, stay pure. All right? Now, out of context, this seems like it's more holy to abstain from sex, but if you read the next verse and latter verses, you'll see it's about having the gift of celibacy and understanding the extra responsibilities of marriage in relation to service to God. So here's verse 2. It says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband." So, you know, if you want to stay single, that's good, because you can serve the Lord. You don't have a lot of responsibility. But look, you don't want to be out here fornicating because you need to have sex. So just go get married. See, that's all he's saying here. He's not making no mandate for you to be, as if you got to be a priest or a nun, you got to make a vow of celibacy. No, nuns and priests should be able to get married. So here's another passage here. 1 Corinthians 7:8. "I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." So Paul is saying, be single like I'm single. It's good for you to be single like I'm single. The unmarried and the widows. So people who have never been married and then the widows. But if you read the preceding next verses, you'll see something else. And if you keep on reading verses 7, which is before this, and then 9, and then 9, you'll see that what is really being said here. It says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God." Paul has a gift of God to be celibate. That means he don't desire beautiful women walking around. He ain't bothered by it. He got a gift to focus on what his ministry is. It don't bother him. You see, he got a gift that where he doesn't have those strong desires. All right. He says, "But every man have his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." See? So the Catholic Church tells you, nope, you cannot have sex. It's better to stay single and just and all that kind of stuff. He's telling you, look, man, look, if you feel some kind of way, you got desires, go ahead and get married. It's better to marry than to burn. Continuing on, this proper gift is the gift of celibacy. As he mentioned, this means avoiding sex and marriage is for those who have the gift. But everyone, not everyone. It's not holy for people to abstain from sex. Paul continues on. But I have you, this is in the same chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, this is verse 32 through 36. It says, "But I will have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, for how he may please the Lord. But he that married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the world, of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behave himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass a flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry." So he's saying if you got a woman that, you know, you're interested in, she passed the, y'all go ahead and get married. You know, basically saying, look, if you're single, if you stay single, you can do more things for the Lord. But if you ain't got that gift, go ahead and get married. That's all he's saying. And these Catholic priests have made it seem like you holier than thou and better than everybody else if you stay single. No, you just can be used in more capacity. See, and I talked about this before. It's not a mandate to get married. It's not a mandate to be single. It's your choice. There are benefits to both. So continuing on, I'm going to finish this up here. And I want to show you where this foolishness was prophesied. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceiving spirits and teachings of demons." And that's what all this sexual repression stuff is. It's teachings of demons. "Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage." Who forbids marriage? The Catholic Church. They tell the priests and the nuns that they can't get married. "And require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." And verse 4 says, "For everything created by God is good." Did God create sex? It's good. "And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." Right? So, you know, this just shows you that it's foretold that the Catholic Church would be forbidding people to be married. And it's a lot of people that do this, but the Catholic Church is one of them. And, you know, nuns and priests are forbidden to be married. We already know that. But this goes against their biological nature. Because these women want to have sex. They want to have children. But yet religion has told them, you're called to be for the Lord. Now you can't have sex. Now you can't have children. Now you can't have a man. You can't have a marriage. And then likewise, the man, same way. And they got these desires that they repress, and it's unhealthy. It's ungodly. It's wicked. Here's another passage here. Proverbs 5, 18 to 19. "Rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. It don't say nothing about procreation. See, God wants you to have pleasurable sex with your wife. God wants you to have pleasurable sex with your husband. Okay? Be delighted in your wife. Sex should be enjoyed, not just simply for procreation, okay? As the Catholics insinuated. Okay? See, if you just read the Bible, you'll see the Catholics is full of crap. Continuing on, here's another passage. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers will be judged. Marriage is honorable, and the bed undefiled. Nothing foul in the bedroom. But when you start, you know, practicing whoremongering, or another Bible version that says fornication and adultery, that's where we will be judged at. So it doesn't say, well, you can't have oral sex, you can't have anal sex. That's foul. They don't say anything about it. It says adulterers and whoremongers will be judged. Those people who are having sex that are not married. Those people who are having sex with prostitutes. Okay. Those people who are women who are stepping out on their husband and having sex with other men. Men who are having sex with other men's wives. Those will be judged. That's what's wrong. That's bad sex. That's sexual immorality. That will be judged. You're not going to be judged for oral sex. You're not going to be judged for anal sex. You're not going to be judged for having sex with your wife in another position other than missionary position. Okay? So, there's nothing in it is mentioned about defiling the marriage. It doesn't mention anything in there. So, here's another passage here. This is 1 Corinthians 7:3-5. It says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the to the husband. The wife had not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband had not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with the consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. So what the passage is saying is married couples should have frequent sex and not deny each other. Okay, women shouldn't be withholding sex to control their husbands, and husbands shouldn't be withholding sex either. Okay, all right. So it's wrong to do that. Have sex as much as possible. If you want to abstain from sex, let it be a mutual thing for purposes of maybe fasting or some kind of prayer thing or whatever, and then you can go back to it. Okay, you don't want to end up tempting each other, where the husband is not getting sex, so he end up going out and fornicate, right? Or the wife is not getting sex, so she goes out and commits adultery. You see, you don't want to do that. So the scriptures are clear about sex. Have as much as possible. Okay. Prior to that, we talked about sex being pleasurable. Let the woman satisfy you. This is nothing against this stuff. Okay. So summary, God created sex and wants his people to experience the highest level of pleasure and all the benefits of it within marriage. Unfortunately, the enemy has found a way to diminish, pervert, and destroy the joys of sex. Have you been sexually repressed? Going forward, pray to God to remove any false ideas about sex that you may have. Stop thinking sex is nasty and evil and unpleasurable, if you do, if any of those things apply to you. And I'll encourage you to read some books on sexual techniques. Okay, I'm gonna link one in the sermon notes. It's a free book, a download that they all offer for free. It's written by a Mormon because he realized that nobody was educated about sex in his religion. Okay. Mormonism is an offshoot of Christianity, of course, which has come from Catholicism as well. And they realized that there was no sexual education about techniques, how to have sex, what to do. And so his doctrine of Mormonism is not in that book. It's just talking about sex. And there's no erotic pictures, so don't feel like, oh my God, I'm gonna be blown away if I see some images or something like that. And that's once again, if erotic images bother you, that's sexual repression in itself. You know, I know that everything shouldn't be seen, but you know, if it's for educational purposes, you should be able to tolerate that. But there's nothing like that in there. So I'll be linking that, and then just try new things with your spouse. You know, and just be open begin to talk about what you need in the bedroom and what's, you know, what needs to happen, and try to bring about some pleasure in the bedroom and things of that nature. You know, God created sex for your happiness and pleasure and stuff like that, and for your health. That's why I did that whole sermon about health, because I want you to understand that this is important. All right. Till next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.